In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, see the wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our reading from Luisa's letters.
Letter number 75, In Voluntate Dei, to Father Beda. Most Reverend Father, Jesus says, thank you for your goodness in writing me. What consolation did it bring to my poor soul and to my confessor, Don Benedetto? All of us went through sad times. Jesus himself cried bitterly, and it broke my heart to see him crying. It was a great demonstration of love to reveal to us what the heavenly queen was about to begin, how much she loves us, how much she cared to teach us how to live in the divine will, how to grow in it, and how she wanted to feed us with the food of the divine fiat. When the book, The Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, was published in Italy, this good mother took the first step to let us comprehend how much she loves us, so much so as to take us onto her lap, to give us this gift of which she is the bearer. But the machinations of the enemies of her little book hindered her step, and she was sent back into the heavenly regions. From there, with invincible patience, she is waiting for a change of times, of people, and of conditions, in order to continue her way and give to us that which is now despised. Reverend Father, it is the will of God that his kingdom come upon earth. Therefore, it is most certain that it will come, either by means of love or by chastisements. Otherwise, creation would be a work deprived of its crowning. God would seem to be as though impotent in the face of the other creatures who possess fecundity, because only the divine will would not be able to form its divine life within our souls. No. Not this. We are convinced that the kingdom of his will come. Allow me, Father, to open my heart to you like a baby. Even the heavens put themselves in mourning because of the prohibition of the books. The evil spirits of the earth and of hell make feast because the divine will has such strength that even a single piece of knowledge of it, one word about it, or one action done within it, makes the spirits of darkness feel such torture as to feel their power paralyzed and their torments in hell increased. Therefore, we should take to heart making the kingdom of the divine will known and living in it. You must also know that as soon as we make the intention of doing an act, the supreme fiat spies us, so to speak, to see if we call it into our acts. If we do, it rejoices and embraces us, caresses us and embellishes us, sanctifies and purifies our acts, And then the Lord pronounces his fiat over them and makes his miracles with them. Our actions then form the clothing that covers this divine collaboration, which fills heaven and earth. Father, if we only knew how many miracles and prodigies are enclosed in the life of the divine will, we would give our lives to receive so many goods. Yes, Father, it is true. Jesus spoke to me about the index, but also of his great sorrow, and said he felt he was being condemned to death again, not by his enemies, but by his friends. However, he added that because of this condemnation of the books, he would make his kingdom rise again in the midst of the peoples. Do you want to know who caused the books to be put on the index? Certain religious from Liguria. May the Lord sanctify them. But he said he laughs at them and will patiently wait for the time when those who are now in a safe place will be fallen and will see white where today they see black. Let us pray and look for our place in the divine will. Let us make of our will the secret cell in which Jesus speaks to us and reveals to us his secrets, but in which he also reveals to us his pains. Since for now, his divine will cannot reach its dominion. In this way, we will let the dawn arise, which will call for the midday of the fiat among the peoples. I commend myself very much to your prayers, as does my confessor, Don Benedetto. I will pray for you with all my heart that the life of the divine volition may be established in you more and more. It will make you feel the need to communicate the good you possess. I kiss your holy hand and ask for the holy blessing, most devoted servant of God, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, April 30th, 1939. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay. So, as you see, this letter is written to a priest, Order of Saint Benedict. And we find in this teaching, I don't know if you can see it, but it's a very, in a way, very simple, but this is very theological explanation that Luisa is giving here about the divine will while she is talking about the issue with the books and the writings, and especially with the book, The Kingdom of Heaven in the Divine Will, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen. There is here, let's see. When Luisa Picaretta talks about the divine will or the kingdom of the divine will, that is certain that this will be established. And this is something that we see in the Book of Heaven too, that it will be established by means of love, which is what our Lord Jesus wants. He wants to give us this gift, and he is using love to conquer the creature, to reconquer the creature again. But if the creature doesn't want this gift, this gift is contained in the Our Father. The petition for this gift to be established is in the Our Father. So we read from the prophet Isaiah that the word of God will not return void. It will accomplish its purpose. And if the creature doesn't want to receive this by love, you will be conquered by chastisements. And even though this gift is not imposed, God is offering this gift by means of love, inviting us to receive this gift. But it is already decreed that this kingdom will be established. Why? Because the kingdom of the divine will, right, will not be able to be formed, Elizabeth Carreta says. Or our Lord says that this kingdom cannot be established if basically we are not in the state of grace. That's basically what he says in the Book of Heaven, that he needs to chastise first because such a great gift cannot be given if we are not disposed. So this is where we come into with the gift that God gives us, that He gives us a will to be able to choose. And then He gives us an intellect to be able to understand right from wrong. So we understand right from wrong. And then we have the freedom to choose also right from wrong. There we have the freedom. We can see the freedom that God gives us, that we are totally free. He gives us the means. Again, the freedom, and then the intellect to be able to distinguish, to choose between right and wrong. And He wants us to use this freedom to choose willingly the right and to reject willingly the wrong. And this gift, this kingdom of the divine will begins in every soul. And we can see it basically in the sacrament of baptism. It begins there. It is established in the creature already in baptism. It begins there. And we can say that that is given sacramentally, that we can say that that gift, the gift of the divine will, we can say it is given sacramentally in baptism, is confirmed sacramentally in confirmation. But then it has to be given to us also by participation, meaning by willingly choosing to receive this gift and to live this gift. Because otherwise, this kingdom cannot be established within our souls. It is already established in baptism. Reaffirm or confirm in confirmation, but in order for this gift to grow in us, it has to be given to us, we can say, by participation. And I guess one of the ways we can see this, or the gift of the divine will, is always through the sacraments. If we try to see it through the sacrament of the Eucharist, and we try to see this gift as something that it is established, first of all, in our souls, it's not something that will happen in a massive way, like some people may think, that suddenly, from one day to another, everybody will be possessing this gift. No, because again, it's not imposed. He's inviting us. He wants to establish this gift by means of love. And he will establish this if the creature allows it. If not, there will be some chastisements to remove those things that impede, and even people who impede the progress, we can say. Even in this letter, he mentions those people who were an obstacle for the writings, and he says that he will wait patiently, basically until they are removed. He will wait patiently. So for us, if we try to see this in the light of the Eucharist, we can see that every single act that we do, Bishop Picaretta says, one word about the divine will or one action done in the divine will makes the spirit of darkness feel so much torture as to feel their power paralyzed and their torments in hell increase. I think we can try to see this and understand what Luisa says, one action, even one single action. And comparing this with the Eucharist, you know, in the moment of the offertory in the Eucharist, the priest prepares the altar to offer, right? To offer the holy sacrifice, to begin that part of the liturgy. It's as if the priest basically is opening the door, acting in the person of Christ, is opening the door for all the congregation to go into that union with God the Father. The priest acting in the person of Christ, preparing the holy sacrifice, the altar for the holy sacrifice, to reenact that union that happened in Calvary. And as the bread is presented, is prepared, as the wine and the chalice is presented, we can see that this species, we can say, like, in a way, they wait with expectancy to be transformed into something else. So something has to be given there. We call matter. Then the formula has to be there also for consecration, and then the minister. So we can say that in this way, the matter, also like Luisa Picaretta is talking about this action, these actions, one action, which we understand is any act we do. So if we understand that as soon as we offer this, also like we are, as the bread and wine are there, and we all wait in expectancy for, or that's at least the disposition we should have, that we are waiting with expectancy so that this bread and wine will turn into the body, blood, solid divinity of Christ, into something else, much, much more greater, and even beyond our understanding, that how can this bread and wine be transformed, transubstantiated into something divine? Well, it's the same with our acts. Our acts, we can say, is the matter that is needed for that transformation. So we should be in expectancy also to understand that every action that we do If we have this desire and we have this disposition, it is like the host and the wine that is waiting to be transformed. So these actions, our actions, now we the ministers, we become basically the ministers because our Lord Jesus needs our fiat, our yes. I give you these acts, I give you consent, I give you permission in whatever way you want to see it. So we present ourselves basically with our actions, with our acts to be transformed. And then, what are the words? Fiat. Yes, I give you my will. So basically, this is what we do when we do our prevenient act, our actual act, and then we believe through faith that what our Lord Jesus is revealing to us in these writings, in the whole work of the Book of Heaven, is truth. So then, God taking from us those acts, He's able to change those acts, to transform those acts, right? And basically, we can say they become divinized. It's not that we become divine. That's not what happens. We're still human. That idea that we are divinizing that way is not what the Lord is talking about in the Book of Heaven. Is your acts now are changed into, are transformed. That's why I put as an example the Eucharist. After the Eucharist is after the consecration is no longer bread and wine. It is the real presence. After you give your actions, your acts that to our Lord in this way, trying to live in this way, inviting Him to take over your actions, to take your actions. But those actions, they still have the human source that is you, that is us. But again, then we become a living host. In that way, our acts, our actions are like those transubstantiated host. And then this is the way we give ourselves daily to our Lord. We in love, right? And what is love? Is we can go to St. Paul's definition of love is not self-fulfillment, is giving. So we see the perfect expression of love in the incarnation, God the Father giving his only begotten Son. St. John says that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. He sacrificed his Son. We can go even back in creation. We see that the whole creation is an expression of God's love for us. He's given. And God is always given. There is this constant love flowing, overflowing, always, constantly. So then also we see that on the cross. It's a tremendous explosion of love because it's given. It's self-giving. So in this way, the attribute of love really begins to flow through us, through every single action, because then we start giving, 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 dying to ourselves, dying to our human will in a way, and always giving, 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 offering our actions. And He takes those actions and He unites those actions to His, our desires, our prayers, then become basically His own prayers, His own desires. This transformation happens and is given to the Father. Because all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, thanksgiving belongs to the Father, and this is what our Lord Jesus is doing. He's suffering in the holy sacrifice of the Mass on the cross. This is what we see. Right? He addresses the Father as he is on the cross. He's presenting himself there for the whole human race. So then our intentions are joined to the will of our Lord Jesus, to his will, given to the Father, directly to our Lord Jesus. Why? Because he is the one who became human. Yes, they have the same will, the three divine persons, but is united to the will of our Lord Jesus. Because we can say to the person of our Lord Jesus, one will, three divine persons. So we are united to the person of our Lord Jesus because he is the one who assumed our humanity. So he will give the value, he will give value to our actions in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. So in this way, you can say that in love, we are able to respond also. In love, we don't have to wait until he chastises us to offer ourselves. This is the other part. Because sometimes it is only when we are chastised, when we go through suffering and pain or things like that, that we go back and we try to seek God. But he doesn't want us to wait until we experience those chastisements. He wants us to see that he is love and to understand love in a different way that the world understands it, because it's not self-gratification as the world understands it. This is totally different. It's to see this concept of love as God sees it, is given. And again, going through creation, we see in a visible way the expression of God's love for all of us. We see it in the incarnation. We see the expression of the second person of the Trinity in the Eucharist, right? And also the expression of the Holy Spirit. His love for all of us, where in the sacraments, is given constantly, given. And I guess that's what we are supposed to imitate. And for those of you who are married, it's not self-gratification, but it's constantly dying to yourself for the others, in love for the others, doing everything, fulfilling your duties. Not for self-gratification, but out of love for the others, right? And in that building, that relationship and dying to yourselves all the time. So, this kingdom of the divine will has to be established. So it's established in baptism. It continues to grow in us by participation when we willingly come and say, Fiat, let it be done to me according to your word. Or whenever we do our prevenient act, our actual act, but when we have that constant awareness of the divine will operating in us, and we have that expectancy also. So I think that's why the Eucharist is very important for us to understand the divine will also. And the divine will to understand the sacraments also. It helps us understand the whole sacrifice of the Mass also, and that we are called to carry on 24/7 what happens in the Mass. That during the Mass, it is through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus that we are united to God, if we unite ourselves to the will of Jesus. But basically, by means of the Eucharist, by virtue of the Eucharist, this is what happens, right? We are at Calvary in the Eucharist. We come and we offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Then, after the Eucharist is ended, we continue to offer ourselves now again in union with our Lord Jesus, but now basically we become the ministers of those because we are the ones who willingly want to give and present our actions, right, to the Lord. So this is supposed to happen 24/7, not only during the Mass. So just try to have that example that in the same way that the bread and the wine are presented and we have that expectancy, or we should have that expectancy, waiting for that central moment of the transubstantiation. Also, we should have this constant awareness that our actions will be transformed and will have the very value of the actions of our Lord Jesus before the eyes of the Heavenly Father. So now, when Luisa Picaretta says one word about the divine will, one action, right, makes the spirit of darkness feel such torture. Why? Because at the end of the reign of darkness is coming to the end, basically. Right? The more acts we do, first of all, in us, it will have no power in us. Right? Because light has the virtue of dispelling darkness. And this is, we already know, we have talked about this. Those of you who have been reading the writings know exactly the effects of the actions done in the divine will in the soul, that it brings light. Every single action that we do fills the soul with that light that we don't see it, but is authentic and is real. One day we should be able to see it. So it begins again in the depths of the soul. It begins in baptism. We are filled with three virtues in baptism. We are filled with seven gifts in the sacrament of confirmation. We are filled with the grace that flows through the sacraments, through the sacrament of confession, through the sacrament of the Eucharist, and all the sacraments. So that's something that unites us also. The sacraments, they unite us with God. But this way of living is a way of remaining in that union, in that constant union, being able to be filled constantly with that light that emanates when our actions are united with His will. So this should be always in our minds, especially when the time comes and we are discouraged, or for some reason we find difficulties, to have that constant awareness that, yes, in love, give yourself also your sufferings. Everything. Our Lord Jesus gave all His sufferings. But to have that awareness also, that the concept of loving God is different than what the world tells us that it is. Is much more deeper. Luisa Picaretta says, if we only knew, asking the priest, right, Father, if we only knew how many miracles and prodigies are close in the life of the divine will, we will give our lives to receive so many goods. We are walking by faith, and that's why we need to read every single word, every piece of knowledge that we acquire. One day we will be able to see how much good it brings to ourselves. not only to our souls, but all the effects that this has in us, in everybody else. So this gift is going to be established again, first of all, in us, one by one, by one, by one. And then at the end, Luisa Picaretta says something that it is very truth. And we can see this not only with the divine will, but we can see this event with the apostles. He says that the life of the divine volition may be established in you. And she's praying that she's going to pray that the life of the divine volition, the divine will, may be established in the priest, in fathers, Veda. But then she says, it will make you feel the need to communicate the good you possess. And I think this is something that perhaps some of us, we are able to experience. So how many of you, when you come, when you came to encounter this gift and you knew, you understood a little bit, you wanted to spread it and to make it known to everybody and telling your friends and everybody, right? And why? Because this is exactly what happens. It's like a fountain that begins to overflow. You cannot contain it. It fills, the soul begins to feel the need to communicate the good it has received. It basically compels us to go out and to communicate this good. Basically, what happened with the apostles after Pentecost? They received that gift. They understood their mission, that their mission was to go and to teach the gospel, the good news that Jesus had resurrected, that we were reconciled, that he was the one that we were waiting for, and his mission, and now that he is known and that the time has come for the fulfillment of the Our Fathers to be given to us. Then this is what happens, or should be happening, with the souls, that we may feel that need to communicate, to give to others, to share it with others. It should compel us to share it, or if not, to live it, right? So in a way, we are in the same situation. We can compare it. We are in the same situation as when our Lord Jesus came. It is kind of like a transitional moment in history, we can say. It is the time that this prophecy contained in the Our Father is being fulfilled. In the time of, in the Old Testament, they were waiting for the Emmanuel, for that promise that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. Our Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And now we've been waiting after the resurrection. We've been waiting for the fulfillment of the Our Father, and is here already. The kingdom of the divine will is within our midst, is right here. The knowledge, the instructions, everything is here for us, for the creature, just to take it. No. And the Blessed Mother has a very special mission in this, in the formation of this kingdom. She has a very special mission. Just as her prayers were basically the magnet that finally make the second person of the Blessed Trinity to descend and to be incarnated, this work will not be complete without the help of the Blessed Mother. Why? Because the Blessed Mother is the true queen of the divine will, of the kingdom of the divine will. This is what our Lord Jesus says in volume 29, May 19, 1931, about the Blessed Mother. He says, since the Celestial Lady is the true queen of the kingdom of my will, it is her task to help and teach the fortunate creatures who want to enter to live in it. But this, by this, they show as if I did not have the power to elect whom I want. And when I want, but after all, time will say everything. And just as they cannot deny that the Virgin of Nazareth is my mama, so will they not be able to deny that I have elected you, Luisa, for the sole purpose of making my will known. So the Blessed Virgin Mary is the queen, the true queen of the kingdom of the divine will. Why? Because since the moment of conception, she received this gift, she lived, she made the gift of the divine will operated in her, the first movement, and everything else is just a consequence, we can say, or an effect of that first fiat, her total fiat. But the mission of Luisa Picaretta is to make the gift of the divine will known. See, this is different than the mission of the Blessed Mother, because the Blessed Mother, she never wrote or taught about the kingdom of the divine will, even though she lived in that, she possessed it, right? And the Blessed Mother, this gift that the Lord gives to all of us, if we want to receive it, it goes first, before it can be given to us. The Lord also says, everything goes first through the heart of the Blessed Mother. Everything is being deposited. And then we can see this, we can see it clearly. If she is the queen of the divine will, and our Lord Jesus says that everything that is given to the creature goes first, or is conceived in her immaculate heart. That's why we have here, when Luisa Picaretta talks about the Blessed Mother, she's talking about the book, The Queen of Heaven, the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And in that book, basically what the Blessed Mother is doing with Luisa is forming her, teaching her the divine will. I think I mentioned before that if you want to understand the whole gift of the divine will, just read the lessons of the Blessed Mother. Yes, this in the short period of time that you have, you know, and then you will be able to see the sequence there and what the gift is. This is what our Lord says about this, the Blessed Mother, in volume 34, December 8, 1935. It says, we deal with her first, referring to the Blessed Mother. But let me go back before so you can get the context. It says, by possessing our will as life, the sovereign queen had always something to give us. always something to say. She kept us always occupied. And we had always something to give and always our loving secrets to communicate to her. So much so that we do nothing without her. We deal with her first. Then we deposit that good in her maternal heart. And from her heart, it descends into the fortunate one who must receive that good. So everything that we receive from God goes first to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's what he's saying. So this gift of the divine will also, we know it's been deposited in the Blessed Mother. That's a clear example, right, of what he's saying. It's been deposited in the Blessed Mother. It's been, we can say, fecundated. It's been prepared. And now, from her maternal heart, our Lord will give it to us if we ask for. Let's just go quickly through the other letters. They are very short. And what I did here is basically going, yes, to the teaching that Luisa Picaretta is doing about this. Now, the next letter is addressed to Mother Elizabeth. It says, Jesus holds you tightly in his arms. This is what happens if we apply it to ourselves. This is what happens when we are in that union. Because now, little by little, he's configuring us to himself and giving us basically the same desires. Communicating, as he says that he communicated everything to the Blessed Mother, to this creature, all the gifts. Now, it happens the same with us when we really dispose ourselves. All right? He gives you his beautiful lessons and then hiding. He wants to see if you are able to impart them to your daughters. Here about the need of communicating. She's referring to the superior, I guess. And in order for us to communicate this gift, we really have to immerse ourselves. When I say immerse, to give ourselves in love, to really dedicate time, to be willing to do the work and to put in the time, even if it's just 5 minutes. You know, it's basically like learning another language. If you don't put the time, you don't learn new vocabulary and concepts, is you get paralyzed. You don't grow. So it's in the spiritual life is the same. What is the beautiful garden that he will form in our soul? And we will be able to give much fruit, but now we can say divine fruit, we can say, right? We'll be able to bear much, but in a way that it will have a divine value and that he will be able to give it. It is the divine will that keeps occupied in that passage that we read about the Blessed Mother in volume 34. It says that the Blessed Mother kept the Blessed Trinity always occupied. Why? Because it had the capacity to give, and she was the, excuse me, she had the capacity to receive. Therefore, he was always giving also God in that love. Remember? The God always giving, that's an expression of his love, and he gives nothing else but himself. Because he's the supreme good. He is the supreme good. So he has nothing else to give but himself in different ways. And this is what happens with the creature. It begins to receive more of God in a different way according to our capacity in every single heartbeat. So in every single heartbeat that we experience, he's giving us life. So through every single heartbeat we give back to him, we are loving him, right? There is something here that some people sometimes encounter, and we have to be able to pass through that notion that, well, Luisa Picaretta is not a saint yet. Therefore, these writings, we put them aside, or we are not 100% to be able to read it. So we have to remember that the Hours of the Passion, the Queen of the Virgin in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, and volumes 1 through 19, they are a proof, and then the other ones, they are in revision. But even though they are in revision, we are not forbidden to read them. We have to remember that her course continues, and it will take time. And in the previous letter, the Lord said he's very patient. He's patient himself. So this should not be an impediment for us to keep growing in the knowledge and understanding. I think it even will hasten even her cause if we continue to live in this way. Thus, I think this small contribution that we all can do with our actions, continuing doing that, giving constantly our fiat to the Lord, and putting aside those things that are distractions. And the more you read the Book of Heaven, the more you read even the letters, you will see that this is really something that helps the soul. But in my opinion, I think only those who are really obstinate will not be able to understand. Once you read the Book of Heaven and the Hours of the Passion, the Blessed Virgin Mary, you will have to be really obstinate, not to want to live in this way, not to want to possess this gift. But that's the decision of everybody, right? Because we all have that freedom that God gave us, and in there we will find also our merit, or the contrary to that, what the losing that grace, wasting that grace that we all have the chance to receive. The other letter that continues is very short too, is to Mother Elisa. Elisabetta, I think, is the same mother. They are both the same. He says, I send you the letter from your sister. I believe you will be content, and let us hope that Jesus will console her. May he console you as well, my mother, and give you strength, and may the divine will be your guide, so you may guide all your daughters along the path of the divine fiat. Right. Then she says, I kiss your right hand and I commend myself to your prayers, and I say, your most devoted servant, Luisa Picaretta. The divine will, basically, right? The divine will be our guide if we understand it in union with the teaching of the church. I highlighted this in my text. The divine will says, right, will guide you, basically, will give you strength. We have to be careful here, and I think this is something that we all have to be careful, because if we don't read the writings of Luisa Picaretta in the light of the teaching of the church, and apart from that, then we may think that we understand the divine will, and that we are doing the right thing, and everything is divine will. We can tell ourselves, right? But if it's not In union, if we don't see it in union with the sacraments, in union with the teachings of the church, the Bible, sacred scripture, the catechism, then basically it is our own will. And we have to remember that Luisa Picaretta was perfectly obedient to the teaching of the church, the teachings of our Lord Jesus. And that obedience is represented by having a priest always with her. This is what our Lord says. I allow a priest to be with you, to guide you, right? He represents the obedience. You have to remember also, this is very visible. And, when Luisa Picaretta, when she felt in that state, being basically petrified, as soon as the priest came and gave the blessing, she came back. Right? And our Lord Jesus always asked her to follow the guidance of the spiritual director. So we have to we have the teachings of the church as our guide. And we have to remain in that context. I think it's like our boundaries, It's a good boundary to have to see if we read this in light of the teachings of the church, then try to interpret this. That's why I give some examples. Using the sacraments to help you see this in that kind of union. Then the next letter is to Sister Clara. My good daughter, Sister Clara, I recommend that you do the will, the divine will, in everything. Because being with the divine will, we have our refuge, which no one can penetrate to harm us, and our strength to bear anything. Let us hope that you will recover from all that all goes well. Now, this is very true here that no one can penetrate in that secret space. That gift of the will that God gave us, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can take it from us, not even the enemy. So living in this way is a very simple way, a very quiet way. It's a very active way because it requires our constant awareness, our constant attention. To be able to remain in that union, even in the midst of difficulties, but also gives us the strength to bear anything. So, this is not only, repeating words and memorizing a little phrases to say every single moment we remember about the divine will, but is going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The more we immerse ourselves in the learning of the divine will, sometimes you don't even need words, using that with the voice of my suffering, with the voice of this pain, with this pain that I'm going through, I say, I love you. With the joy that I'm experiencing, I love you. Why? Because God is all of that. God is joy. God is beauty. Those are His attributes. But also the pain, the suffering that our Lord Jesus endured for us, we unite that with Him, and then it acquires a different meaning. Then again, in the eyes of God the Father, then this suffering of ours has a sal it becomes salvific, redemptive suffering, right? So it is very personal. It is so active at the same time, so mystical because nobody knows what is really going on. Sometimes not even us, or not even us, because we don't see our soul expanding, we don't see our soul being filled with light, right? But it is real, it happens. So with this, let us try to finish asking the Lord to grant us that grace to live in the divine will through the maternal hearts, through the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Mary, that this gift that she possesses in her maternal heart, in her Immaculate Heart, may be given to us from her heart to us, may be granted to us. May it be our strength, our peace. May it help us to bear anything, all kind of sufferings and trials, and may it help us also to be joyful and uncomplaining, right? To be able to give to the Lord everything in love. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.